Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Series 3, we're back.
We made it.
And Georgia got knocked up.
And hopefully I've had the baby.
by this point.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's fingers crossed. But currently still pregnant.
Currently I am.
Excited?
Very pregnant. Yeah, I'm excited. I'd like the baby to stay in for another week or so, but let's see how we go.
And how great was it this year? Baby on the way. Silver British Podcast Award.
Oh,
I mean, let's not bang on about it.
Actually, maybe we should have a different intro. Maybe it should be like, welcome to the room, the award-winning Zoe Hardiman and Georgia Dayton.
I think people would switch off. We won't tell you about it again, but it was a very exciting night. Not only that, but we've got so many incredible guests lined up for this series. I can't wait to get into those conversations. But we do need to get on with today's chat. Georgia, you are looking an absolute vision in mellow yellow, we've decided we're calling it.
We don't really know what this colour yellow is called, so...
Pastel yellow.
Pastel yellow it is.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. I'm into 37 weeks pregnant now, so, yeah.
I mean,
on the home stretch now, just a few weeks to go.
I mean, you're really looking glowy is the word I would use. So beautiful. I did say thank to you, are you the most beautiful pregnant woman ever? Because you're rocking it, G.
Oh, thank you. I like this stage when, like, no one can really... You can't disguise that you're pregnant. No one can think you're just...
No, definitely not, mate. Oh, no, I've just had a really big curry. No. How are you feeling?
Good. I feel good, actually. I mean... Practically, I'm not prepared at all. My hospital bag is not packed. The nursery is not ready. I don't have any nappies in the house.
Georgia!
None of that stuff is done. But
what about mentally?
Yeah, mentally good, actually. This is the best I've felt. I've been quite open with this pregnancy, how I've felt really different. Mostly, I think it stems from the fact that I'm an only child. Mm. And so I have never really had that sibling thing, you know, like what the relationship and what the dynamic is. So I've been trying to get my head around Axel having to share me and my husband, and that has made me feel guilty at times, like really guilty, just because I rely on my parents so much, as you know. I'm really, really close to them, and I can't imagine what my life would be like if they had to, you know, if I had a sibling and they had to split their time. And so I just was looking at Axel thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do all this for you.
So is it a feeling of, have you been grieving slightly?
I don't know if it's grieving. I think it's just getting my head around the fact that he will have a sibling and I don't. So his life, not is going to be different, but almost.
Well, it will be.
Yeah,
really different.
It's different. But obviously I wasn't really looking at the positives. Mm. I mean, I've only just started looking at the positives now.
I think it's completely natural.
Yeah.
I did exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I really felt sad for a while.
Mm.
I mean, I just, every time I looked at Luna, I couldn't believe that I was going to be breaking this bond between her and I. I had a real, it really got into my head. It really started sort of, I don't know, it's bringing me down. And it was like uncontrollable, those feelings. And it lasted for quite a long time. And I remember me saying to you that I felt I couldn't bond with Bump. Are you bonding with
her? Yeah, I wasn't, definitely not. But the last, I reckon the last 2 months, I've got my head around it.
Yeah.
Also just speaking to other people, you know, making me feel better about feeling like that. Mm. And the fact that it's quite normal to feel like that has made me feel a lot better.
Mm.
And then again, just watching Axel, he's a bit older now. He's a lot more like sociable, chatty.
Yeah.
And I just look at him and I think, no, do you know what you really need a sibling?
He absolutely does. And yeah. It will be one of those things that happens very instantly for him. He will literally not be able to remember a time without her.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
would be so amazing for you to watch. Like, one of my happiest times in the house is when I see Luna, Kit and Isla playing together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just... I just know they're going to be little best mates growing up. And apart from yesterday when Luna headbutted Kit. Headbutted him. It was almost like she was trying to knock him out.
Oh, my goodness.
So she loves him about 90% of the time, I would say.
I'm trying to, like, think of when they'll actually get to a stage where they'll want to play together. Because it's going to be nearly 3 years difference.
Yeah.
So is quite... Well, not big. Obviously, it's not big at all, but...
It's about a year. Baby, she'll be about a year old and they'll be able to play together. And
yeah.
That'll be lovely.
Yeah.
So hang on in there. Well, listen, this week, we spoke to somebody who has been kind of... I guess, well, she's been on our TV screens for a long time.
She
you
has.
And I are both big fans of this woman.
She's fantastic.
We really respect her honesty. She is very outspoken. She's very raw. I love her Instagram post. She's
yes.
got a massive following. She's fallen in love again.
She has, she, well, when we spoke to her, she was pregnant with her third child, but now he's here.
We can't believe it. We went round to her house and she was heavily pregnant, but she said she was kind of a few weeks away and that she had a bit of time to kind of finish off, because she was doing loads of DIY.
Yeah, she was doing loads of DIY. I think the day that she went into labour, she was actually due to be on Loose Women.
Right.
She hadn't finished up for maternity leave yet.
No, and she is on this week's podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So it's a sunny day and Georgia and I have got in the car and we have come to a secret location, although not that secret. We know where we're going.
It's actually 5 minutes from my house.
It's 5 minutes from Georgia's house. Today we are chatting to, she found fame on a very, very, very well-known TV show back in 2008.
Nine.
She is a singer, she's a television presenter, she's an author, she's a mum to two amazing boys. She's soon to become a mum to a third little baby. We don't know what sex yet. It's Stacey Solomon!
That was a lovely intro.
Yay! I'm known for them. Thank you so much for inviting us to your home today. It's
no, thank
beautiful.
You so much for coming. I'm very lazy at the moment.
You're allowed to be lazy right now.
Although, I don't know.
Actually, you were drilling when we got here, so I don't think you're being that lazy.
When your son said, yeah, no, come in, mum's just upstairs drilling, we were like, what? What were you doing?
I was just trying to get all the DIY done before we have the baby, so I'm in that... Very much so the nesting stage where I needed a toilet roll holder. Do you know what I mean? And you just think, I cannot. I've been losing sleep at night thinking about how I don't have my toilet roll holder drilled into the wall. So today was the day.
Isn't it amazing how when you become pregnant, you just want to start getting everything done, just getting
it's
the
terrible.
Shit done.
Do you know what? I do feel like that most of the time, but I don't have the get up and go to actually do it.
Yeah.
I think, oh, I'd love to do that. And I need to sort out that one kitchen drawer that is just full of nothing.
Oh,
but
God,
everything.
It's annoying.
Oh, it's terrible. And I never have the get up and go because everything else comes first. But pregnancy gives you that boost.
It does.
To
yeah.
be like, I am ripping everything out and starting again.
Have you done anything, not even just in this pregnancy, but in your last pregnancies that you think, oh my goodness, why did I do that? Like I threw away so much stuff like in my last pregnancy that I think, oh,
that's
wow.
That's because you never thought you were going to need to want to have another
baby.
That?
No, when I was pregnant and like emptying out wardrobes and stuff and I just couldn't be bothered to take stuff, you know, like to sell it or and I threw away some really expensive stuff and I think, what on earth? Why would you do that?
I am slowly taking over Joe's stuff. So I really like all of what I've got.
None of it's being thrown away.
So it's staying. But Joe's, well, Joe is like Johnny Bravo, I call him. He has this wardrobe that had 10 of the same t-shirt and 10 of the same jeans. So I've just been sort of narrowing it down to the cleanest ones with like the most white t-shirts.
The ones with the least holes in jeans can stay.
And then passing them on and trying to recycle.
Love it. Now let's talk about this pregnancy. Congratulations. I just kind of want to know, you know, kind of, you know, was baby planned and was that, how was that conversation with Joe and kind of like, I guess the infancy of when you guys started to think about having a baby together?
Yes. We planned for this baby for quite a long time, probably about 2 years we were talking about it before we decided to go ahead. Because we've got children already, they are our absolute priority and we just wanted to make sure they were completely settled and ready for a whole new dynamic. That's why I think I've waited so long in between. I mean, my youngest is 7, so I really wanted to obviously be completely sure that it was the right time and that everyone was happy for things to change, because it will change inevitably. So yeah, we were planning for a good 2 years, I would say, and then we started trying. Yeah, so it was something that we were making a real conscious effort to do because we really, really wanted to expand our families.
I can see, having sort of stepped in the room, that the boys are a total priority for you. You know, they're such great kids already. How are you feeling about getting back into the mix and having a newborn? Because the boys are pretty much self-sufficient, right?
I know, one of them just made you some toast. I mean, I think I'd be pretty happy.
That is why I had children, so that they could make my breakfast for me. No, do you know what? I have incredible boys. Joe and I have incredible children. And I'm so grateful that they are so lovely and brilliant and helpful and just, they make my life so much easier and they're brilliant. I am in two minds, I think, about having another baby. Obviously, this is what we want and we're really excited and elated to be going through this. But also, there's definitely moments when I think, oh, it's been the three of us, as in me, Zachary and Layton, for such a long time. It is quite daunting to think that whole trio will soon be four and it will be completely different. And I don't know, little things like I was holding their hands the other day and I just thought, I don't have another hand, I only have two hands. And I don't want to let go of my oldest one. It's just the weirdest stuff. It's just silly things. I mean, the baby isn't going to be holding my hand for a good year or two. And Zach is 11 and probably is sick of holding my hand.
That's a good transition. When he goes to secondary school, doesn't want to hold your hand, you'll have another hand.
It's irrational, but I definitely have those moments where I'm like, oh, it's quite sad. It's the end of an era, I guess. And I think that is quite a big thing. And I didn't think about that prior to being pregnant. I've only thought about it sort of now, coming up to the end.
Are you finding yourself having sort of more special times with them, or kind of making more time to do things with both of them? Is there a sense of nostalgia?
Definitely. I've been trying to take them out individually as well to get some real alone time with both of the boys. You know, Zach's been a big brother for 7 years. Layton's never been on his own as a sibling. So I'm trying to sort of get in those times where I really let them know that I'm there if they need me and I'm theirs and they can have me to themselves. I don't have to spread myself thin. They've got me. So I'm sort of really making a conscious effort. I don't know if they're enjoying it, to be honest.
What's all this extra time with mum? Yeah. I don't want that.
Oh, God. Oh, this is annoying.
My eldest calls me a smother because he's like, you just smother me. You're all over me. You're a smother mother from some TV show, I think. I'm sure that they're not ecstatic about how much time I did it
with Luna.
Did
when
you?
When I knew that, you know, when Kit was when the birth was approaching and I was reaching full term, I just went into this very emotional state of looking at Luna and constantly wanting to hug her and constantly wanting to touch her and tell her that I loved her. And I was crying endlessly because I felt like I was taking away the bond between her and I. And I think it's a very natural feeling to be like, you know, you don't want anything to change, but you know that it is going to change and you want it to change, but it's all very confusing.
It is really confusing. And also, I think Leighton's at an age, my youngest, where he's transitioning from being a small young child into an older child. And obviously, when I first got pregnant, he'd just turned 6, and now he's 7. Well, he was 6 and now he's 7. And I know that doesn't sound like a massive change, but for me, I've really noticed a change in him, and it's actually been difficult to let him go and become a grown-up child. So I was still carrying him, you know, if we went on a really long day out, I'd bring the buggy and chuck him in there and let him go to sleep and stuff. And I haven't been able to carry him, obviously, since I've been pregnant, and cut and pick him up and take him up to bed and all of those things that kept him my little one have stopped happening. And I think that has been really emotional, sort of letting him go and him becoming an older child.
Has he done that by like himself, or do you think it's been a conscious thing?
He has noticed a change, because he said to me, oh, mummy, you haven't carried me since you started growing our baby. And so he's definitely noticed that I can be less hands-on with him because we're having another baby.
Does he say growing our baby?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how I've probably brainwashed him to say it.
I love that.
But and so I take him swimming a lot now. That's my like guilt easer. Yeah. I take him swimming loads so I can put him on my, like, round my waist and wrap him around and carry him around the pool.
That's lovely.
So he feels like he's getting a carry. It's so silly.
It really is. He's been your baby.
It literally breaks my heart every time, especially at the moment. Axel's like, mummy, pick me up, and I'm like, oh, I really can't. So I've actually started holding him like on my back.
Yeah, piggyback. And then I'm like, is it safe? Am I doing the right thing? But then, do you know what? You just got to do what you got to do, haven't you?
And, I know.
And it is, you want to be considerate, and you just want to do the right thing. And ultimately, as parents, all you want to do is your children to know that they're unconditionally loved and you'll always be there. So I guess that's all you can do. We will beat ourselves up till the cows come home. Otherwise, it's just not. I have to constantly remind myself that it's not worth the guilt.
Yeah,
it really isn't.
Right.
I'm doing a great job. We're all doing a great job. We're blooming well, doing whatever we can to give our children the best life that they could possibly have in whatever way that is. We're doing our best. And I think that is all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a lovely message to send out to parents as well, that guilt emotion, it's just not worth it. You can't, because whatever you do, you're going to beat yourself up about it. You're going to think it's not good enough. But actually, like you said, we're just trying to get through, survive and do the best by our kids.
I mean, the thing is you're gonna feel it, so you have to accept it and go, okay, I'm gonna at times feel like I'm not doing the best, or I could have, or I should have, or I would have, but it's not productive. It's not gonna get me anywhere. It's not gonna make me any of a better parent. I'll accept it and I'll go, okay, I feel a bit guilty today and I feel a bit rubbish, but I won't let it consume me, because I know ultimately my intentions are always good.
You
know, even if I get something completely wrong, I've gone in there with the right intentions. I'm not trying to, you know, mess up my kids. I'm trying to do the right thing. So you got to give yourself a blooming break at some point.
And talking about your emotions, you've obviously spoken very openly about your, I guess, anxieties and your fears. How have they been this pregnancy? And, you know, have they kind of reared their ugly head, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, hormones for me do not help with my mental state of mind. It's just, they go hand in hand in fueling one another. As soon as I get extra estrogen or progesterone, I'm literally anxiety central. But again, you know, I've tried really hard not to wish my pregnancy away, because I don't know if I'll have any more children.
Yeah.
So I want to enjoy it. I'm lucky enough to be pregnant again, so I don't want to wish it away, but I do find it very difficult. The imbalances in hormones, the changes in hormones, I find mentally very difficult.
And have you had that with all three of your pregnancies?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. I would say that later, my middle was probably my most stable, where I was definitely more, wow, everything's so shiny and wonderful. But Zachary and this one, I would say my fear, you know, that parent fear, I don't know if anyone else gets this, but when I had Zach, I got like a parent fear of, immediately I just felt responsible for a human being.
Yeah.
And I felt that if anything happened to me, what would my child do? And it really accelerated this whole new anxiety thing that I'd never ever felt before, and that was at 17. I felt a bit more stable as life went on, and I didn't keel over and die. That I trusted that maybe that wasn't going to happen, you know.
So this is a fear of dying.
Yeah, I think it's the fear of leaving my children without somebody. I think as a single parent as well, you feel that a lot more. Maybe you don't, you know, because when I was in a relationship and I had Leighton, I still felt that, but it was less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
it's natural that you would feel it more if you feel like you're on your own.
I don't know.
Definitely.
It's just that maybe I'm like, I just cannot leave them. And also, selfishly, I don't want to leave them. I want to enjoy them for the rest rest of my life. You know, all of those things, those dark thoughts that you can usually sort of go, oh, don't think about that. I was unable to when I had Zach. And I think the vulnerability of labour and giving birth and going through that trauma made me feel like my body wasn't a superhero. I think throughout my teenage years, I felt like I was invincible.
Yeah.
And labour was like, oh, I'm definitely not invincible. That was...
And also, yeah, I guess at 17, you wouldn't have like heard too many stories about it. Like,
no.
You know, as we get older, we've got loads of friends who've had babies.
Yes.
And we know what we're going to go through and we're a bit more prepared for it. But I guess when you're a lot younger, you wouldn't have had that.
But also, I think 10 years ago, 11 years ago, things were really, really different. People didn't want to tell you those stories. Now we have podcasts and we have Loose Women and we had Loose Women then, but people didn't want to hear those kind of details about birth because they don't want to scare people. I think a lot of it comes from a really good place. They didn't want anyone to feel, you know, anxious or nervous going into labour. What's the point in that? But there wasn't very much awareness about what happens and the different scenarios and someone's going to have their hands up your vagina. You know,
like, and you don't want them to.
And you're probably going to crap
on
them.
I don't want to know that. Like, you already know that. I don't want to remind myself.
You know, like, they're not the things that people spoke about when I had Zach. Yeah. So I did go into it completely blind. My advice was, it's painful, but it'll all be amazing in the end. You'll forget about it and you'll get this overwhelming feeling of love and wonder when it comes out.
What did happen?
Oh, I just wanted toast and I didn't even want to see my baby. When I had Zach, I was in labour for a good 3 days. I went 2 weeks over.
Wow.
In the end, they gave me a spinal to take me down to theatre, but the anaesthetist wasn't around. He had to go to an emergency. So they forcepted Zach out, cut me like every which way and forcepted him out. And I don't even remember them stitching me up and all of that stuff. I remember them trying to give me the baby and I was like, no, I'm hungry. Because I couldn't eat anything for quite some time because they'd put the drip in me.
Yep.
And then they left me because it was 23:32. I remember the exact time. It was 23:32 and then everyone had to leave as soon as I gave birth because back then they didn't let anyone stay overnight with you, not even your mum.
Not even your partner?
No, well, my partner, we weren't together. So there was, no one was allowed on the ward.
I can't believe they didn't let your mum stay.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
So I was left in like, and you're in curtains, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're sort of just left hearing everyone else's babies crying and yours is crying. And I was just like numb from the waist down. I couldn't go to the toilet. I thought I couldn't, but I was. Just all in myself. And then, woke up without the epidural or spinal or whatever it was they gave me and was like,
What were the months like after that?
I would say for a good 3 months, it's really fuzzy. I don't actually remember very much because I think my brain blocked out that the aftermath was the trauma for me. Even though the birth was the trauma, the aftermath I think was even worse. Sort of like my mum used to come around and help me with my stitches and I couldn't sit down for quite some time and but then I couldn't stand up because I was so weak. It was a really weird time.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any feelings towards my baby, which sounds really horrible.
No,
I
we hear that a lot, actually.
Yeah,
we talk about it a lot.
I hate saying it because me and Zach have had the conversation and because he's older now, I feel that I can sit and talk to him and explain to him things like that, and I feel that I have to because I've been so open about my experiences. I wouldn't want him to read it online or his friends to say it, and that makes me feel horrendous. So we've had those conversations, and I just didn't feel anything. And I don't think I felt anything for anyone, not particularly just the baby, just for life, for anything, you know, when you're just sort of numb. And it took quite some time before my mum said to me, you know what, go away. So she sent me, not sent me away, but she said, go away, go and spend some time with your friends when he was about 3 months old and remember who you are and what you were before you were pregnant and had a baby and teenage mum and whatever, and then come back because I was starting back at college in September. And it was that sort of like leaving the home and leaving the baby that was the only thing that got me to remember who I was and to be able to actually face what had happened and to become the parent that I needed to become for Zachary. So it really was.
So what did you do in that time? Where did you go?
So me and my friends went to COS. I think it was like the cheapest place we could go to at the time. And yeah, we went for like 4 or 5 days. I can't even remember now. And just went mad and silly and got drunk and went out. And yeah. And I remembered what it was like to be a teenager again. Yeah, you know, I'd spent like my 18th birthday as a pregnant, breastfeeding, like, or whatever I was. So yeah, it just wasn't what I expected.
I think that actually happens at, well, it can happen at any age.
Yeah, so yeah.
But you have
yeah.
this really big life that you're leading, and then you have a baby, and nobody really prepares you for that aftermath. Like, I went a very similar birth to you, and, you know, it was a real trauma for me, and I suddenly felt like I was grieving the loss of my life, and I was like, I don't know who I am now as a mother. I don't know what I like. I don't know how to sleep. I'm not eating properly. I'm supposed to have this overwhelming sense of love, and I don't know Luna. You know, it was, I felt quite similar to you. I really did struggle with it. And it's actually, nobody really prepares you for that moment. No. You're just supposed to get on with it because you're now a mother. But it actually, sometimes it doesn't click like that for certain people.
No, and you're right. It can happen at any time. I've interviewed so many women who have had the perfect setups and been in horrible situations or been in great situations, and it doesn't, your circumstances aren't relevant, your age isn't relevant, mental health is mental health, and it has no, you know, it takes no prisoners. And I think that there's not anyone who can just fly under the radar, oh, they're in this circumstance, so they'll be fine.
And sometimes when you are in the stereotypically perfect, you know, scenario, you feel even worse.
Yeah.
Because you think, I've got absolutely no reason to not be enjoying this. This is meant to be perfect. To the outside world, this should be perfect. Yeah. And then when it's not, it can be so much worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scary.
Yeah.
It is scary.
And I guess being aware of what you've gone through in your previous pregnancies and obviously the aftermath afterwards, how are you feeling about this labour and what will happen after that?
I'm under no false pretense that I do not enjoy labour. You know, like, there's some women who really love it and love being those, like, super...
Nadia.
Incredible.
Nadia.
Oh, yes. My God.
We loved her
Every
birth story.
Every time she talks
it was
about
brilliant.
Birth, she is just, honestly, she's... I'm in awe of her. She talks about it like she's having a holiday in Disneyland, whereas whenever I talk about birth, people are like, oh, I might never have kids again. So we're the total opposites of each other. So, and I respect that. Everyone's got a different opinion, and everyone handles things differently, takes things differently, and has different experiences. But I am not looking forward to giving birth. I can't wait to meet my baby, and I cannot wait to have, you know, our family expanded. I can't wait for all of those things, but labour, no, I'm not excited about it.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to take all the drugs? Or?
Yeah, if I can. Last time, so when I had Zach, I tried to do it in the water. Ridiculously silly.
I hated the water.
Oh my God, it was warm, first of all. I was like, can we have it a bit hotter? But they would not make it hotter because they said it was dangerous.
Don't crash our podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Joe's arrived, everyone.
It's like a whirlwind tornado. And Mummy's here.
And Stacey's mum's arrived. Hello. Aww. We've just been hearing about what an absolute legend you are. And also, if you'd like to come around and help me at my house, that'd be so nice.
Where were we?
So you didn't like the water?
No, didn't like the water because I like a hot bath.
Yeah.
And they make it almost like, you know when you go in the swimming pool and there's a baby pool and a normal pool?
Yeah.
It's like the normal pool.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. My kids always want to go in the big pool. And I'm like, no, let's just stay in the baby pool.
It's all lovely and warm.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know why it's so lovely and warm though? All the wee-wee.
No,
it is
can't
that.
Be.
It has to be that.
They make it a certain amount of degrees warmer.
I mean, I understand it's probably loads more bacteria because it is warmer.
No, they put more chlorine in though. Surely.
They must do. Yeah, they must do.
Believe you me, if my kids wanted to wee in the pool, they wouldn't discriminate between the baby pool and the big pool.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's
probably
so true.
Maybe it's more diluted.
We all started in the water because I got in as well and then got out, and you did
the
same thing, right?
Yeah, I got in with Zach, got out.
That was the worst part of my
labour.
Yeah, going in the water. It was awful.
So I won't do that again. Then with Leighton, they broke my waters on my due date because I was dilated but no real labour. And then 2 hours later, he came, so I didn't have a chance to have any drugs otherwise. I would have had them all. So this time, they would go through your birth plan with you, and I was like, no plans. all the drugs, tick.
Yeah.
If I need help, tick.
Yeah.
If I don't need help, tick. You know, yeah. I was just like, I want it completely open. I've never seen the benefit personally for having a birthing plan because it just hasn't worked out that way for me. It could be the perfect birth. It could be a difficult birth. It could be who blooming well knows. So there's no
I sometimes think you have a better birth if you go into it like that.
Yeah, going blind.
Yeah. Because then you've got no expectation.
Well, I think it's important to do your research because like the first time I felt completely underprepared. The second time I felt like, oh, I've got a bit of chutzpah behind me. Like, for example, I will say what I want. Whereas the first time I kind of just went, do whatever you want to me because I have no idea what's happening right now. And I don't think that's always... I feel like you, if you have a bit more information and insight, you can be a bit more in control yeah. about what you want and what your body needs.
I agree with you.
But I just don't see... I don't see personally the point in me planning a birth because I don't think that nature works that way.
What's your pain threshold like?
My pain threshold is fine, but it's awful. I hate it.
Oh, no.
It's just awful. Like, I keep getting Braxton Hicks and I'm like, oh,
here we go.
What a waste of time. What a waste of time. I was on the monitor the other day because they have to check you now. And she was like, are you feeling those? They're at 120. And I was like, yeah, these are a waste of time contractions. Trust me, I will know when something's happening down there.
What's Joe going to be like as a birthing partner?
I think he'll be great as long as he stays at my face end. He's not very good with blood or...
Yeah.
Oh, but then my face end will probably be puking up anyway. So I think he's going to struggle. I think that he's really excited. He's an incredible person. He'll do anything that I need. You know, if there's any at any point, if I need anything or if he's worried, he'll be the first person there. But I don't think he will enjoy the trauma of it all. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not pretty, is it? I mean, maybe for some people it is. For me, all I remember last time was having a Nando's and then the next day... throwing up the Nando's, you can see bits of olives everywhere.
God, like it was, Stacey.
But the gas and air made me sick. I was throwing up everywhere. Then your plug comes out, and that's not pretty, is it? Then your waters go everywhere. I mean, like, it's not beautiful. I remember at the end just looking around the floor.
What's happened?
What's happened?
Somebody get a mop.
Oh my God, you wait till I tell you this. I can't believe I'm going to fess up to this. I just can't believe I'm saying this, but I am. My second birth to Kit, I'd had my epidural. And I was in this really zen place. Obviously, that at that point, there's no pain, there's no feeling, there's no nothing. And I was like that. Ah. And Dozza was in the room. And they were like, right, it's time to start pushing. Baby's coming, da, da, da. And I was like, oh, God, my God, amazing, amazing. I pushed. And then I was like, oh, I don't feel like I want to push. I actually feel really tired. I was like, oh, my God, my labour's slowing up. And then I was like, what is that smell? And I said, I looked at Dozza and I was like, have you farted? And he was like, yes, I have farted. And I was like, how can you fart during my labour? I was like, that's disgusting.
So
and he
selfish.
Was like, okay, well, try not to worry about it. And I remember looking down at this point and there were people sort of wiping up. And then the next day I had Kit. And I was like, I can't believe you farted during my labour. And he was like, no, you pooed yourself. And I was like, oh no, you're joking.
Oh.
He was like, but I took it for the team and everything was fine and now no one will
know. Why did he confess? You should have kept that.
I know. I feel like they don't tell you if you do.
I feel like... No, they don't. But yeah. I would say I probably pooed on both my heads. Zach pooed on me on his way out.
Which oh, was, gosh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, like this, they call it something.
I
it's
know.
Like this black, weird... stuff all coming
Meconium.
So we had to stay in for extra days because of that, yeah, because he was so stressed by the end of it all that he just pooed all the way out.
I mean, I think it's they don't call it a labor for nothing.
Exactly,
it is, you know,
I mean, labor isn't strong enough word.
It's not
really.
What would we call it?
I don't know.
Serious trauma. No, look, some people have amazing births and
yeah,
I think that
yeah.
some people really 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 enjoy it.
Oh, they
and like
love
you
it.
Said
honestly, I do have a lot of friends, Nadia being one of them, but a lot of friends who just love it. They feel like, you know, superhuman. These women who can just sort of like
push it out
and push it out and pull it out with their hands, with their bare hands.
I'll tell you who did that. As you know, the singer Example.
Oh yeah,
his wife Erin.
Oh yeah, she
laboured standing up and she pushed.
Oh,
and
incredible.
They said, grab hold of your baby, and she went ugh! And she was like, it was like a scene from The Lion King where she was presenting her baby. And I was like, and then she was like back in the gym the next day, and I was like, well, that was not my experience.
Yeah, no. But that's her reality, though, isn't it?
Everyone's so. completely different. Exactly. And I do think that no two births are the same. And you've just got to, if you get all the information from everyone, then you can go, oh, mine might be a little bit like A to Z. And that's it, rather than expecting it to be like magical or expecting it to be horrendous. Mm-hmm. You can take what you need. Do you know what I mean?
You need a range of examples, I think.
Exactly. They should do like a labour book. They should. A birthing book.
101 labours.
Yeah. Actually, that could be our first book, Jay.
There we go.
How do you and Joe communicate? So, for example, let's say if there is, you know, if you are going through some stuff after baby comes mentally, do you think you guys are going to be open enough to be able to talk about it?
And I've already spoke with Joe about how I might feel afterwards, because I have been a little bit more anxious and sometimes a bit down during this pregnancy. I've said to him that, you know, there is a possibility that I'm not going to feel great after I give birth. And so we have both come to the agreement that we have our family around as much as possible, and everyone checks in and makes sure that everything's okay. And also the NHS do a really amazing service now where they look after postnatal and prenatal mental health. So I've been checking in with them throughout the whole pregnancy, because I just think it's really important. I don't want to be in a position, when I had Zach, I didn't know what I was going through, and it meant I couldn't really talk about it, and I just bet it was in, you know, getting inside myself and really struggling internally, and I didn't know what to do with it. Whereas when you speak to lots of people and you try and build a little support network around yourself, you can almost have a buffer for if and when you need it. And I think that's what I've tried to do with this one, definitely, is have that community of people, my mum, my dad, Joe's mum, his sisters, my sister, and then obviously the NHS there in case it does happen.
Yeah. So if any new mums are listening to this and they are struggling, and obviously I didn't know that the NHS are supporting people. I mean, I know that you can go to your doctor and stuff, but so do you go to your midwife or your health visitor?
So I probably flagged up with my midwife that I was not feeling great halfway through, probably about 22 weeks, I would say. And I said that I was preempting that I was going to have postnatal depression, and she was like, it doesn't mean that. It, you know, the way your hormones are do not determine how they're going to be after the birth, but we do have programs in place and they have different people you can go and see to talk to your, to talk about how you're feeling with. And then they almost get like a record throughout your pregnancy of how you've been feeling. So if afterwards you revert back to or get worse or get better or whatever, they can really manage it in a proper way. So yeah, they've been fantastic.
Joe's back in the room, by the way, everyone.
He's back. I'll try and find my notes to find out exactly what the, because it's a
that'd be good.
It's a program.
Yeah,
that's incredible. I literally didn't know about that. Did you?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I know the NHS are doing a lot, you know, around mental health, because it is having its voice at the moment.
Yes,
that's how fantastic is that. But that would be great to
maternal mental health is a big thing as well, and I think that, you know, just even just to have some kind of maternal mental health support system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is really imperative. And they are doing that, definitely. And it's not, you know, I'm at my local hospital. I had both my babies at. So, well, they've sister hospitals, but I have both my babies there. It's not because of I'm going somewhere special or I'm anywhere different. It's just what they offer, a standard practice.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, can we talk about the age gap? Because you know, we briefly touched on it, but you...
What happened to TikTok?
Yeah, Joe, can you come and sit here?
I was only talking about my age.
No, the age gap between my
between
kids.
You
narcissist. Just with your faults. He's literally like, I'm just going to tiptoe around.
Crash. Joe's just freshly back from the gym.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
It's a hard life.
It was a hard class today.
Bye, Joe.
Not the age gap between you and Joe.
No.
the age gap between your kids. You're obviously about to get into the mix. So what are your kind of biggest concerns, and how have you been preparing for the sleepless nights and the nappies?
So I am honestly overwhelmed by how technology has come in the last 7 years. I have a breast pump that goes into my... He's kidding me. I mean,
I've got to live a little bit. I'm going to go and have a shower now. I forgot the milk.
All right,
see you later.
Thanks, Bob. I have a breast pump that fits into each bra without any wires and it's silent, so I can walk around expressing all day.
What is this breast pump called?
It's an EV.
Oh yes, LV.
Oh my gosh, I'm rubbish with names. But I'm so excited to express all day and feed, obviously, yep. And then give my express milk to Joe over night time,
yes.
And sleep. I haven't slept for months. Like, I genuinely have not slept in this pregnancy. I've been up at like 3-4 in the morning just thinking, what else do I need to do? Where do I need to go? So I can't wait to face plant my bed, sleep on my tummy.
Oh,
again.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
I just can't wait. So I'm going to try and express. Obviously, the first few days, I'll give baby my colostrum and get into a routine and whatever. And then me and Joe have said that, like, for a week, I would love him to do the night feeds, yeah. Maybe two. Or free.
So you can just kind of try and recover, yeah. A bit, because you obviously have just gone through the labour.
Yeah, I think, but childbirth is a trauma, and not necessarily that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I think that your body goes through so blooming much and has to, you know, achieve something that you can't even contemplate. So much changes. You need to sleep afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
So to be able to if I'm lucky enough, please God, I've got enough milk to express to give to Joe to do the night feeds. If not, then I'll probably just give formula overnight just so I can get a few days.
Because that's so important as well, isn't it? Like, actually looking after yourself too.
Yeah. Otherwise, what use am I if I'm absolutely exhausted? Yeah. And, you know, I've given birth twice now, and I know how it feels afterwards and how tiring it can be. And I just don't want to. I want to be my best self. And luckily, I've got a really supportive partner who is willing to help me with that. And yeah.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And you've got your lovely boys who can make you toast.
Exactly. Do you know what? They are really good, the boys. I know that as well, when baby comes, they'll want to get involved. I probably won't even be able, I won't get a look in. I've been carrying this around, growing it for 9 months, and I won't get a look in at being able to.
Are you going to teach them to change nappies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll want to do it though.
Of course
they're little boys. So they're like, oh, let me have a go. I don't think they'll want to do poos. I really don't.
No.
Unless it's the yellow sandy ones that don't smell so bad.
Oh, you know, when, like, the change of colours,
yeah,
the poos.
The rainbow poos. Maybe the black one, the first one, that doesn't smell.
No, it doesn't, but it does look a bit like Marmite. You have to be prepared for that. I remember calling my midwife going, it's black and sticky. And she was like, no, that's normal. And yep. I was like, okay, should have probably been more awake during that class. Yeah. What about work? So have you got a plan about how long you're going to take off, when you want to
really
go back?
It's really funny because people always ask women, don't they, when they're going to go back to work. But not once have I ever heard Joe do one interview where they go, so how long are you taking off with your baby and when are you going to go back to work? They don't even ask. It's just this, like, I will take what I need to recover, great. What my body needs to recover. But I love my job. Mm. I love doing what I do. We're both self-employed, so we take work as it comes anyway. I might not even get offered any. You know, like, that is the genuine reality of it. I might not have any work after I've had a baby. So you just got to take it as it comes. I haven't got any set plans of, like, oh, I'm having 6 months off, you know, I'm this, that and the other. I'm just going to do whatever we need to do to pay the mortgage, but also, like I said, I love what I do,
yeah.
And I'll miss it.
And I think it's important also to highlight that as freelancers, we don't get maternity pay.
No.
You know, I with Kit and Luna, there was no maternity cover coming from anywhere.
No, exactly.
So it's kind of like, you've got to get back to it whenever you feel ready. I think we always promote this across Made by Mamas, that this is a personal choice about how you feel, when you're ready to get back into the mix, when you want to do, how much you want to do, you know, that's
absolutely
what it is.
Absolutely, exactly.
But, you know, like, I feel so privileged because I can go back when I'm ready. So if I have had a traumatic birth or something is, you know, and I don't feel, or my mental health isn't where I need it to be, even though I'm self-employed, I can go back when I need to. And I think that for a lot of people, you go back when you have to go back.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really difficult. When I had Zachary, my college started in September, and no matter what state of mind I was in or what, you know,
you had to go back.
Health, I had to go back. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't complete my course and I wouldn't be able to go to university or get the jobs that I wanted to get. And at the same time, to pay for my college fees, I had to get a job. Mm. Well, not, I already had one, but I had to go back to work. There wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
I think for most people, there isn't a choice.
No,
most parents
not.
Have
yeah.
to just go back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We all need to pay the mortgage, pay the rent.
It's
a challenging time and you've got to do what you've got to do. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could sit and chat to you all day.
No.
Well, what we really want to do, kind of finish up with, as we do in every podcast chat that we do, is talk about our favourite products. So obviously this episode is about pregnancy and mental health. Are there any particular products that you have been using throughout your pregnancy that we need to know about?
Okay, so the products that have got me through this pregnancy so far are iron. I spent a lot of my pregnancy asleep and suddenly realised I needed a real boost in iron. So
you take iron tablets?
Yeah, I take these Pregaday or Pregnacare or whatever they're called. Two of them every single day because I cannot function without my iron levels so low. But that has changed my life.
Because I think it's important as well to highlight that you might not realise that that's what's going on. You know, fatigue during pregnancy is quite normal, but if there is there something else going on there, check it out.
Yeah, and they do routine blood.
Did they tell you after your blood test?
Yeah, they told me, but then up until that point, I think up until you're 20 weeks, you don't get, or 24 weeks, you don't get a blood test. So up until that point, I was just like, what is wrong with me? Yeah. Why can't I open my eyes? It was like having jet lag, but all the time, Joe would start speaking and my eyes would just go. And he was like, he thought I had the ump with him.
He's that boring.
He said to me, I thought you just fell out of love with me because every time I spoke to you, you fell asleep. I was like, no, I was trying so hard to be awake. What else? I'm so excited about the breast pump, the silent wireless breast pump.
Yes.
But what has really got me through
pregnancy? Used any creams or oils for stretch marks or any face masks or any kind of anything kind of beauty wise that's made you feel good?
When my hormones come in, as much as it messes with my mental health, I do think it helps my skin a lot. So it's like that fine line between happy about the skin, sad about the depression.
I mean, you do look glowy.
Well, that's the sweat also, because I'm very hot
skin is completely clear.
Usually I get spots all over my cheeks. Every month. You can see the scars from where I've had them. It's done the world of good for my skin. So I haven't used anything extra on my face.
Into facials or massages?
I love them. I don't have time to get them most of the time, but I do always, I cleanse, tone, moisturise every night and wash my face because I never used to.
And do you have a particular brand that you love using?
There's one brand that I use, Your Good Skin, because it's really cheap and it works.
Is that from Boots?
Yeah. Your Good Skin? It's like one of their own brand ones. It is really nice. And then if I'm like having a treat, I'll get like a Clarins cream or something, I wouldn't go for that every day because
it is a treat.
I
know, it's so expensive. Some of these creams, it's like, buy this cream, it's £90.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No,
I'll just grow old gracefully.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take the smile line and go on holiday at the end of the year.
I use Simple from Boots, and people ask me what my sort of diehard products are. Simple products from Boots.
But it's like makeup as well. I'm terrible. I love the like Collection 2000 and all them ones. Yeah, Too Faced.
The lip glosses are amazing.
They're the same thing. I remember getting Miss Sporty when I was a kid. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So much cheaper, but it did exactly the same as everything else.
You can get some really good products on the high street.
That I'm so worried about going on maternity leave because in my job I do like beauty marketing. I get given such expensive products. It's like a face cream that I'm using at the moment is like £400.
My
husband said to me
what
the other
is
day,
it, girl? Gee, get me some.
Myself.
Oh.
And my husband's like, oh, your skin looks really good at the moment. I'm like, don't say that.
It won't be the cream, surely not.
It's the pregnancy.
But I'm worried. That's my maternity leave fear, is that I'm going to have to go and buy products again.
Oh, yeah, but just go and buy some nice high street ones.
Yeah, I know, I will. Totally. Yeah.
And you'll be all right.
I always talk about how Pharrell Williams, you know, the singer, he looks unbelievable. He's like 50 and his skin is flawless. And he did this interview the other day going, what I do is just wash my face with water, cold water every night, and exfoliate the shit out of it. That's what he said.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he was like, that's all I use. He was like, nothing else. And his skin,
it's amazing.
Yeah. I think sometimes we can get all caught up in
I do think genetics has a massive
of course it
so
does.
Right. That's the
sleep,
thing.
Water, happiness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Loads of sex.
Yeah, and not living in the city. I mean, there's so many things. Good food, what you eat, everything. I don't know if sex would help my skin.
Sex gives you the glow.
No, again, the sweaty glow.
Oh, right. Plus your mother's in the room, so we won't talk about it too much.
It's Zoe's favourite subject. Yeah, but she has to get into every episode.
I have waited the whole podcast before I've talked
about
sex.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, actually.
I enjoy talking about
it. Well, good for you. I'm not much interest in it, to be honest. But
have you not this pregnancy?
Not right now, anyway. No. To be honest, I'm like that most of the time. But I don't even know how I got pregnant.
Oh, no. He just looked at you.
Joe genuinely was like, you're joking, right? This is So this is impossible.
Like, immaculate conception.
That's hysterical. But we're both really busy. It's not like, you know, neither of us minds. We're both super busy. Also, right now, he's like, no, thank you. I don't fancy it.
Yeah. Not right now, babe. But, yeah, you know, when the baby's out and you're back in your flow, you go on a nice date night, who knows what's going to happen? Gosh,
that will take a good year for my vagina to recover.
Oh, stay.
Imagine. They've just pushed a human out of it. I don't really want anything going back in.
Well, fine. We'll just leave it there then. Nothing's going back in. Nothing's coming out. Stacey, thank you so much for being so honest.
Thank you for having me.
You're
loved
just
it.
One of our favourite humans. No, we're so happy to have you on this podcast.
I love you so much. Thank you for having me.
Can we please be mates with her forever?
Oh, she's so nice. Just, she's one of those people who you just feel like you've known for years. You can just chat away to.
I loved everything about her. The way she welcomed us into her home. The way she spoke so honestly about her postnatal depression the first time round. I think she's a real inspiration for mums.
She really is. She's so open. She's so warm. Yeah. She's so honest.
Yeah.
Just a lovely, genuinely lovely girl.
Yeah, and also she just was like in a pink hoodie and some cycling shorts and she just looked incredible.
She did. Her skin was glowing.
Yeah,
her skin was flawless, actually.
My favourite thing about the podcast is when she spoke about Joe ordering those shelves online and they came in the wrong size. Shelves for elves.
Yeah, shelves for elves.
I'm going to be measuring everything in future.
So as with every episode, we're going to finish off talking about our five favourite products. As we've just been talking about pregnancy, and I'm in the midst of pregnancy now,
yeah,
I think we should round up by talking about our five favourite pregnancy products.
Yeah, so obviously it's been a year for me, but one of the things that saved me during my pregnancy, because I had really bad issues with my temperature, I was getting super hot all the time.
I remember.
Have you experienced that?
Oh my gosh, don't. Yeah, absolutely.
Boiling. So what saved me was having, it's called a Swell bottle. Have you heard of these, G?
Yes, I love them.
They're like thermos flasks. I was going to say keep colds, but they're a bottle. They're a thermos flask. They keep water really, really cold. You can get them on Amazon. And I just had one in my handbag the whole time. And it rescued me.
Fab, and good to take to the hospital too.
Yeah, and really good for the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Something else which I've been treating myself to this pregnancy is LMS pregnancy massages.
Oh, yeah.
I've been having one every couple of weeks and it's really made a difference.
Do you think?
Absolutely. Like aches and pains. I definitely haven't had as many aches and pains in my back or anything this time. And also, who doesn't need an hour to themselves?
I think it's really important to take that time out and do it.
Yeah. And the products are lovely that they put on your skin. So
gorgeous.
Lovely.
I am kind of really swooning over the Rem products at the moment.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I mean, I'm such a moisturiser whore anyway. Like, I just, my whole cupboard. My husband's like, why do you need so many moisturisers? I do. I want them all over my skin. There is one in particular from Rem, which is called Moroccan Riche, I think it's called.
Oh, nice.
And it's got Moroccan rose oil in it. And it's just, yeah, it's wonderful. Really, really moisturising. Not greasy. Smells delicious.
Lovely.
It is a bit expensive. It's 37 quid for a pot, but it's lasting and lasting and lasting.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
I've actually been using a different stretch mark oil cream this time round. I've been using the Cowshed Udly Gorgeous stretch mark cream.
Nice.
A friend bought it for me for my baby shower and I absolutely love it.
Where have you been putting it?
All over my tummy.
Yeah.
Boobs, bum, back.
Has it made a difference, do you think?
Well, so far so good. I don't want to jinx it.
Well, you did put that photograph up of you in the pool in Portugal and you looked ridiculous. Perfect skin.
Thank you.
What was that pregnancy pillow that you're using this time around? The one that I came around and had a snooze on your sofa with the other day.
It's called a Dream Genie. I really love it. It's not so bulky as some of the others, which has been great. Like if I've been staying at a hotel or staying somewhere else, it's really good. It's brilliant. It goes in the middle of your legs and then just supports your bump.
Okay,
are you going to miss John Lewis?
Are you going to miss it when the bump's gone?
Oh, my husband will have it, definitely.
Same thing with Dozza. Dozza was like, I'll be taking that.
Yeah.
No, he won't. You hug me, not the pillow. Listen, thank you so much. That rounds off this week's podcast. As always, you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast and spread the word. You can also contact us at Made by Mamas on our Instagram and mine at Zoe Harbin. And we would love a little 5-star review from you. Please.
Yes, please.
And any feedback, obviously much appreciated. We'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.